That movie sucked.
I kind of liked it.
Movie Night Crew Network.
Welcome to Fandoms Gone Wrong. I'm Charlie.
And I'm Carrie.
And what are we covering this week, Mother? What was your birthday pick?
Week, it was my birthday pick. We're doing Grease 2. For those of you who didn't know, Grease made a sequel. They made a sequel of Grease. It's called Grease 2. And while some of you younger people may not have heard of it or may not know about it, it is a cult classic among those of us in the 40 to 50-ish range. I'm just saying, it's a cult classic. It is fun. It's a musical, of course, because of course I'm going to pick a musical for my birthday. And it is farcical. It has some beautiful people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Some great music.
This is a bisexual movie if I ever saw one.
I'm not going to say all the characters are bisexual, but a bisexual would have fun falling in love with most of the characters. Not all, most.
Yeah.
Several of them are very, very attractive.
Both of the leads are attractive, therefore it's like, okay. Okay.
Exactly.
So what is this movie about, Mother?
What is this movie about? Well, if you ever watched Grease, the original, you know it was a young girl who falls in love with a boy from the wrong side of town. So imagine the same story, only flipped upside down. So Enter Sandy's cousin, who just happens to be Michael, who just happens to be an exchange student from England, who falls in love with a girl from the wrong side of the town, the gangster girl from the Pink Ladies, and he decides he's going to get her. Of course, she says she wants someone who's much cooler than him, who rides a motorcycle, and he decides, well, fine, I will get some money and I will get a motorcycle. So he does some kind of wrong things, you know, like selling papers to the T-Birds. And he gets some money and he goes to a junkyard and basically the guy takes his money and says, have at it, and shows him a gigantic pile of broken down motorcycles.
And
he gets his motorcycle.
Cool.
He gets his motorcycle. He learns to ride it better than any of these other dudes. And of course, at the end, he gets the girl.
Spoilers.
And of course, it's a musical. So there's lots of singing and it's a little raunchy at times. From our favorite song, Reproduction. Basically about reproduction in biology class. And it goes, was a little awry.
Very awry.
I wish I had had a biology class like that one. It would have been a lot more interesting. But you know what? It's really interesting. You asked about it. You mentioned it. And I said, it kind of harkens back to us an episode on Happy Days, which is another old people's TV show, where they did a show where they were talking about biology. And they did the same kind of thing about biology. It wasn't raunchy because it was, you know, weekday night TV. But they did the same thing where they kind of sang about biology in class. And it was kind of cool. And educational, too. Both are educational. So the little song reproduction, while raunchy as hell and acted out very suggestively, which I loved, it's educational.
It's like how
it was
I
only
don't know
one,
why that song just
flaw.
Reminded me of when in Hannah Montana's, like, was anatomy class or whatever, she made a song about all the bones. That's what it reminded me about. But, like,
so,
it was
like I said, it
raunchy.
Reminded me of the Happy Days one. Here's the thing, though. They did have one thing that was wrong in the song, which we could talk about now, we could talk about later, when they said that you cannot get aroused by someone without them knowing it, which is completely and totally wrong. You know, someone could inadvertently walk in the room dressed in such a way that just kind of strikes your fancy. And I'm sorry, you can absolutely get aroused by someone if that's your interest.
All right.
Without them actually realizing you're aroused. I mean,
let's
they may
get
notice,
into
but...
the plot of the movie.
Sure. That's
yeah,
your style.
This is a quote unquote sequel. We got a few characters returning, which is where we open up. We open up where it's the principal and the vice principal. Is that who they are? Or is it just like her secretary?
Yep. The principal and the secretary. I don't even think they mention a vice principal per se. I think she's just the secretary.
I love her. She's nuts. She's just the best.
One more thing I want to say about this, and this goes along with something we discussed previously that anybody who joins our Patreon will find out about. We talked about what makes a good movie. This movie we loved. It's fun. It's farcical. It made almost no money. It cost $11 million to make it. It made $15 million
sure
in the box office.
I saw
office.
Something about the creator of Grease was like, Grease 2. He didn't have any involvement in this movie. He was like,
honestly, the first movie was based on the play, I think, which was loosely based on a book, or a book was based on it. I don't know, but there is a book out there, which is not quite the same story, but very similar. But yeah, it didn't make any money. I actually never heard of it going in the theaters. I remember seeing it on TV when I was a kid. So I did see the first one in the theaters. I don't remember the second one actually being in the theaters. I saw it on television. I recorded it on my VCR and I rewatched it many times. But I watched it on TV.
The kids won't remember VCRs.
They won't. It's like a DVR, but it has a gigantic cassette that you pop in and out of the machine. Kind of like a DVD, but 10 times bigger.
So when we're opening up the movie, we see, like I said, the principal and the secretary lady, they're hanging up the flags. They're like, oh, the kids are coming back this year. It'll be so fun. They're like, or maybe it will be like nuts, just like it always is, kind of thing.
Two seconds later, all the kids start arriving immediately by bus and by car. And it's just giant free for all sing along. On the school front lawn. Love it.
Yeah, with like one of your favorite songs, because I swear I always hear you sing this song. Back to school.
Back to school again. Well, you know, that's what it's about. It's about going back to school, first day of school.
It's kind of a montage of like meeting a bunch of the different characters. So do we want to go through a rundown of like who the characters are in this movie? The Wikipedia, because I don't remember any of these people's names.
Well, the first one would be the lead guy, Michael. Right? Yeah. He's met coming off the school bus by Frenchie, who was in the first movie.
Yes, because she did not graduate with all of her friends, so... She's here again.
Anybody who remembers the first movie, she dropped out of school to go to beauty school and then she failed at beauty school. So this is her, this is supposedly the next year, and she is now going to finish her senior year and graduate. Funny thing, she's not in any of the graduation pictures at the end of the movie, but okay, whatever.
She's not even like in the end of the movie like at all. Like we stop seeing her halfway through the movie and it's like so sad.
She's like how we get introduced to Michael. She comes off the bus, she's like, oh, when your cousin Sandy told me you were coming to America, you know, so this is how we meet Michael.
Is gonna be not enough Frenchie, honestly.
Maybe because she was like 100 years old when they made the movie and they didn't, she wasn't that old.
I just think it's so funny that Michael is like he's the cousin of Sandy, who's from Australia, and he's from England. I just think that is so funny to me. Like, this family, I want to know how this family works. Like, did somebody move? Like, I don't know. And also, like, the accents are just, like, the fact that the accents are going to be, like, similar, but, like, not. So it's like, oh, it's almost like Sandy's, like, the country cousin, and he's, like, the prim proper cousin. Like, you know?
Yeah, well, again, it's the way the family was raised. All, like, good in behavior.
And who's Michael played by, Mother? I know he's, you know,
Max,
your favorites.
Max Cofield. He's adorable.
He's pretty hot in this movie. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. I mean, he's done some roles where I'm not too impressed with his looks, but in this movie, he was young. He was really adorable.
I don't know of anything else I've seen him in. I just know that this movie, he is pretty dang cute.
Challenge. What else have you seen him in? Let me see here. Prince for Christmas. Did you see A Prince for Christmas? That was probably one of those Hallmark or Netflix movies or something.
Probably, like, vaguely, but, like, not actually. I don't know. Like, yeah, I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
He was in a James Bond video. He was in something else. I forget what it was. Any TV? Dynasty, The Colbys, Murder, She Wrote, Beverly Hills 90210, the original series, Rockford Files. He was in a Spider-Man movie, but not the one you've seen. Oh, the animated series, sorry.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of these things, Mother. I think we need to keep going, because I can't.
Okay.
I got nothing here.
I'm looking to see if he's been in any movies you might have seen.
Well, the other lead is someone that I know pretty darn well. It's Michelle Pfeiffer playing...
Well, of course.
Stephanie, the leader, the quote-unquote leader of the Pink Ladies, which I think is interesting by, like, I don't know, how like, she kind of seems like she's, like, the odd one out of the Pink Ladies, if you know what I mean? Like,
she's the odd one out because just like at the beginning of remember the other movie? The beginning they broke up. Well, she's the one who broke up with her boyfriend who's the leader in the other one it was... Danny had broken up with
I don't know.
Rizzo.
She doesn't strike me as she breaks a Rizzo.
She's not a Rizzo. No. She's like the Danny.
Yeah.
She's more like the Danny character. But Danny because she's not still... a doofus like he was. But
Danny
but she's,
still
she's
strikes
like
me as the leader of them. She doesn't strike me as the leader in the same way.
She's supposed to be the leader of the Pink Ladies, and she's striking out on her own. She doesn't want to be controlled. She doesn't want to be, you know.
She's not
him.
Like other girls.
She's trying to grow up and she wants to meet new people. She also wants an opportunity to date other guys. Huh?
I this is why I have a thing for Michelle Pfeiffer, even though she's like she's like the same age as you.
No, she's not.
She's older?
She's like 10 years older than me.
Sorry, hello? Older.
I'm not in my 60s, hon. Sorry.
Hey, I didn't know where you got that from.
Yeah, no, I was 12 when this movie came out, I think. 12 or 14. I was young when it came out. She is 10 years older than me, I think. Yeah, exactly. She's 64.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm not that old.
You're still pretty freaking old. It's fine.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
I like to pretend I'm young. The one in the cast that's close to my age. The one in the cast that's close to my age is Dolores. She's a year older than me. 2 years older than me, literally.
And she's the young one, right? She's the kid.
She's the one. Yeah, she's 14 in the movie.
She's my favorite of the pink ladies besides Stephanie.
They call her Dolores Rebchuk, or otherwise known as Upchuk.
She's just a little kid who's like a freshman and she's following them around because her sister's one of them. Paulette,
she's the femme fatale.
Yeah, yeah.
She's got that Marilyn Monroe look going on. Yep.
And I don't know the difference between the other two characters. They're Sharon and Rhonda. And
Sharon is the one who likes to wear the little pillbox hacks and pretends that she dresses like Jackie Onassis.
Okay. Understand none of those words.
Okay. Do you remember JFK? You've heard of JFK?
Yes.
The president. Yes. Yeah. His wife.
Okay.
His wife. So she wants to be like him. And the other girl is more like a Marilyn Monroe type. And it's rumored that JFK had an affair possibly with Marilyn Monroe. So go figure it all out. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
There are two sides. One's a little sexy looking. The other one tries to look like the girl next door, even though she's the one who's probably more, I don't know, more settled in a boyfriend at this point.
And then we got
Rhonda is kind of, she's kind of like the average looking girl in the group. She tries hard, and they think she had a nose job.
And then there's the T-Birds. Johnny's the main guy, right?
Johnny's the main guy. He's played by Adrian Zemed, who at the time was popular on a TV show. He's a little old for the cast, but that's okay.
Now, I have a thing about Goose here, because I know him from something where I'm pretty sure he references Grease 2 vaguely. So,
probably.
Because I know that actor, Christopher McDonald, he's in one of my favorite DCOMs, Lemonade Mouth, where he plays
a lot of things.
He plays like I think it's the vice principal, because he's the one who's like giving them all the tensions and shit. And he makes a comment near the end of the movie saying like, I was a rebel like back in the day. I'm like, oh my god, it's because you were a fucking T-Bird. That's why.
He was a fucking T-Bird. That's right. He was a T-Bird.
Yeah, and then the other guys. He's done a lot of things. Lewis and Davey?
I was gonna say the other guys. Huh?
Is it Lewis and Davey here?
Lewis DiMucci, played by Peter Frechette, who's also done a bunch of stuff. Not anything too recent. A couple of years ago. He did some TV stints, some, you know, TV shows, a couple of movies here and there. But yeah. He's in the first place? On the Broadway show. I don't know. Leaf Green, he played David Jaworski. He doesn't do a whole lot after that. He did a couple of things back in the 80s and maybe a few things in the early 2000s, and that's about it. Then he disappears. But he's a penguin to production and stuff like that, so that may be why.
Okay,
He kind of gets off this.
One of these guys is gay. Wait, Louis DiMucci, the actor for him is gay. He's married to a man.
I'm not at all surprised, but that's fine. Yep.
I love that.
David Warren. Who's David Warren? Is he cute? No. No idea. He's a director. No idea. Doesn't show.
All right.
Okay. So we talked about the cast a little bit.
Yeah,
Then there's
the
recurring
cast.
Characters from the previous movie, which are Didi Conn as Frenchie. We have Principal McGee, played by Eve Arden. Love her. Sid Caesar plays the coach again. Coach Calhoun. We got Dodie Goodman playing the secretary again.
Love her.
Eddie Deason plays Eugene.
Eugene!
He played Eugene in so many things throughout the 80s, I swear. Or other similar types of characters.
I mean, he's... the Polar Express.
Belmudo's back, otherwise known as Crater Face. He's the leader of the bad guy motorcycle gang. We don't like him.
But now he's the leader of the Cycle Lords instead of the Scorpions. That's so stupid. So stupid.
All I know is they kind of break a lot of rules by like invading them at school during class.
In the last
which
one,
is crazy.
In the last one, they still seemed like they could have been just like a high school gang or whatever from the other side of town. But now they like, they seem like they're an actual like adult gang that's like... actively being harassing people?
Harassing high school kids. They're harassing high school kids, for God's sake. And they also have some new characters. They have Mr. Stewart. Well, they have Mr. Spears.
I was going to say, he's played a different character in the last movie, but I think it's the same character, just different name, basically.
Yeah, so the Mr. Spears is a teacher who, like, freaked out at the end of the last one, probably, but this one he goes bananas.
God, he just goes so bananas.
He starts off having come out of the mental hospital, and he just goes downhill from there.
I don't think he should be teaching anymore. I don't know why they keep bringing him back. Like, he just keeps fainting.
He's a danger to himself, not others, to himself.
Yeah, just himself.
They also brought in a bunch of supporting cast players. The two most notable ones I'm going to mention, just because this is a film about the 60s, and they were this is a film about the 60s, and these were popular stars back in that time period, and so they brought them in to play characters here. They would have, in their time, they would have played the lead roles in this kind of a movie. Tab Hunter, who plays Mr. Stewart, and Connie Stevens, who plays Yvette Mason.
Okay, yeah.
Mr. Stewart and Miss Mason, who have a little affair. Miss Mason's also a little bit of a femme fatale look. She's got the tight clothes. She does not dress like a teacher.
They keep like making fun of her. They don't like say anything, but they like give her like the eyes, like looking at like her shirt, and like okay.
Yeah, but she said something about I'll see you in such and such a class. He says, oh, I hope to see all of you in this class, and she says you just might. So she's a little suggestive of a person, just a little bit. And that scene where she's playing footsie with Mr. Stewart, you know, it's okay. But yeah, she's not exactly your typical school teacher. She's like the relief kind of a little bit, as is Mr. Stewart. The cast is interesting. Yeah, there are the twins. I don't understand. They call them sorority girls or cheerleaders. There are actresses who went on to do producing and stuff like that.
All right, let's keep going with the movie. So
the movie.
My thing about like this sequence here, where like everybody's getting into school. And there's this whole thing about Stephanie, the fact that she wore pants. I know you know why this is a thing, but I'm just like, so she wore pants.
There was a time when you had to dress nice to go to school. You had to dress appropriate. It has changed over time. Now, when I was going to school as a kid, we didn't have to necessarily wear like dresses to school or whatever. But it's the first day of school. It's one of those days when you should set a good impression to your teachers. You're supposed to dress up. Ask your grandmother. They'll tell you they couldn't wear jeans in public. There was a time when people had to dress a certain way. That's why we like these new modern times better in most ways, because we're allowed to be more free. When I was in school, we weren't allowed to wear shorts unless it was field day or like the last day of school or a field trip. We weren't even allowed to wear shorts.
Supposedly we're free in this time. I don't think so. Well, but
things are changing to the negative, guys. We need to fix that. Vote.
Yeah, so
vote early and
let
vote
Stephanie
often.
Wear fucking pants. She like pulls a skirt out of her locker and like just puts it on over her pants. And I'm like,
but wouldn't you like to be that cool? I would love to be cool enough to be able to pull a skirt out of my locker, throw it down off my pants, and it would be good enough to match my outfit and be wearable for the day.
No, I'd rather be cool enough to just wear the pants on the first day of school and be like, I don't fucking care. Stephanie
shouldn't
have to care.
She's basically wearing capri-length leggings or capri-length tight pants with a sweatshirt.
Yeah, she looks fucking cool. I don't care.
With her and she had her jacket too, right? With her jacket.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they made her change. So they didn't make her. They intimidated her. She was intimidated by social cues, if you will.
Stupid fucking society. Get out of here.
She doesn't wear the skirt again until she dresses up.
I know. She never wears a skirt again, like in the movie, basically.
Except
like,
at the end. At the end, she wears a couple of dresses, but that's it.
Yeah, well, like, they're like at a formal event. That's, yeah. So, we of course have our shenanigans during the announcements, because they always have to have announcements at this school. And
I love the announcements.
You do? You love the xylophone? Yes. I love the xylophone.
I love the band announcement.
Which was the band announcement?
When she says, tryouts for the band are coming up. Just remember, if you play an instrument, it's better to play with a group than with yourself.
Hey! Yes. Love that.
And then, of course, when they announce Michael Carrington is there.
Yeah, the fact that they, like, he stands up and he's like, hello.
She says, stand up, Michael, in the classroom. And she tells the class, say hello to Michael Carrington. So, of course, being a
hello
whole bunch of.
Hello to Michael Carrington.
Michael Carrington. Yes. But yeah, so they have some funny notice. They have some funny announcements and things that go on. It's fun. It's high school, but a little twisted.
And the next thing that we think happened, we're not sure if it's gym class or if it's like after school sports, it's probably gym class.
It's right? Weird because it seems like it might be gym class, but the kids, half of the kids are like goofing off doing nothing. And some are playing sports. The T-Birds look like they're practicing football, which I don't even understand because they're not football players.
Maybe it's because Danny made it cool to like join a sport last year when you were in T-Bird. And that's why now they're like, oh, we can join sports now. It's cool.
Yeah. It's so the only time we really see this going on. But yeah, so Michael's running track.
And what happens? He sees Stephanie. This is when he falls head over heels.
This is the second time. The first one was a meet cute in the hallway when he saw her.
Yeah, but this is like the first time where he's like, you know what? I'm in love with her. It's official.
Yeah.
This is where you know.
Well, this is doesn't Frenchie say like, oh no. No, not her. You can't do that, Michael. Yeah. I don't remember the exact wording, but.
It was something silly where it's like, no, don't go after her.
She's a pink lady. You can't go after a pink lady unless you're a T-Bird.
Oh, yeah. We have the whole rule in this movie because it wasn't a rule in the last movie. It was just kind of like convenience because they were all friends. But in this movie, a T-Bird and a pink lady have to be dating. You can't date anyone besides the other.
See, that's not what they said. They said a pink lady couldn't date anyone but a T-Bird.
Sorry.
T-Bird chicks until grad is what they said, which
was not a rule in the first movie.
Stephanie doesn't like that
at all?
We don't know because none of them dated anybody other than a T-Bird except for the one dance.
Yeah, but like I said, it just seemed like a convenient thing in the
first ways it's a convenient thing. Do you really think that Goose and Rhonda would be dating otherwise?
I don't know. I don't remember which one Rhonda is. I'm sorry.
Rhonda's the one with the funny glasses.
Okay, maybe
she wears the glasses,
her.
The big glasses that cover her face. You can't tell if she's actually attractive or not, but they try to make her look a little unattractive. So I can't tell if she actually is or isn't. She's got the brown hair, the darker brown hair, the glasses. They complain about her nose a couple of times.
Let's talk about the movie, okay?
Which because it doesn't have to be about her. I'm just like, you want to know who she was. Noteworthy, but she is noteworthy. Okay.
So this is where the first harassment happens because all of the motorcyclers just come onto like the fields. Like Balmuto is back. Or otherwise known as Crater Face. He's there and he's harassing people. And the T-Birds are like, nah, we're bowling tonight. Leave us alone.
I know. They didn't just say it like that. He said it like with a little fear in his voice.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, let's face it. These are not the toughest guys on the block. If you thought the other T-Birds from the previous movie weren't tough, these guys are way more of a pushovers. They're tough, maybe looking to the other people in their school, but outside of their school, they are just like big wimps. And that's very obvious when Balmuto shows up and says, one of the guys like, oh, we'll rumble tonight. I'm like, there's four of you! And there's like a dozen of these guys on motorcycles.
We can't
You're not
rumble
gonna
tonight.
Rumble.
We bowling tonight. And they do bowl. I love how they bowl.
It's date night.
I love when they go bowling. It's so cute.
Well, because they got to sing and dance when they're bowling, of course.
Yep. And the iconic song when they go bowling is Score Tonight.
Yes.
We gonna score tonight.
Aren't you gonna score? Yeah, and it's very suggestive again. Here's the thing we have to note. Now, as we mentioned, Stephanie broke up with Johnny. She doesn't want to be part of that whole I have to be a T-Bird chick at all. But Paulette is really, really into Johnny.
She is.
So this is her big chance. She's really into Johnny. We got two full couples, one partial couple, and then we have poor Davey hanging out in the wind. That's okay. He gets a girlfriend in the end, but he's hanging out in the wind right now.
Yeah.
But yeah. Paulette's hot, hot, hot for Johnny, though.
That's why, like, when we were first watching the movie, I just was like, so those two are together, right? Right? Wait. It took me a minute to realize the whole, like, dynamic that was happening there. I just thought that Paulette and Johnny were together because of how, like, she was on top of him all the time.
Well, in Paulette's mind, yes. In Johnny's mind, she's a convenient replacement until he can get Stephanie back.
Mm.
Which is terrible, and Paulette should definitely beat the crap out of him.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, maybe he gets his due later. Who knows?
It'll be fine. So, yeah, they have that, the whole song and dance at the bowling, and then when they're talking about this whole scenario, like, the whole, like, the breakup and how Stephanie doesn't want to be with Johnny or, like, one of the T-Birds, she's like, I will kiss the next man who comes in that door.
If I want, because I'm going to kiss who I want when I want. And so in walks Michael.
Michael Carrington. There it is. And
big
she
kiss.
Kisses loves him. And he's like, okay.
If he wasn't in love enough, this just made it much worse.
Because he, of course, came to the bowling alley because he heard that they were going and he wanted to hang out with them and Stephanie mostly.
What I think is interesting, I mean, he's into Stephanie, that's wonderful, but he is like the least, you know, he's the person you would least expect to want to hang out with a bunch of gang, you know, gang people.
Yeah, but of course, he wants to be friends with them.
You would think where Sandy was like, you know, with the leader of the last group of T-Birds, that maybe they would have known who he was before this.
Nope.
I might have heard something about him coming there. Nope. It's like he never existed before this moment.
He didn't. It's true.
It's just so weird.
Well, they also didn't exist. They didn't exist in the last movie either. So, doesn't matter. Yeah.
Did you see the pop-up we just got?
Yes, I did. So yeah, Michael is like, it's not happening with Stephanie right now, but he makes a new best friend in Dolores.
Dolores. It's so cute. It's so adorable. She's 14, and she really is 14 about that age when the movie is filmed, which is fun.
Oh, yeah, she is. So things happen, and it's kind of creepy later. So, because none of the rest of them are teenagers.
They're supposed to be 17, but
they're supposed to be, but the actors are not.
Definitely not. So anyway, he makes a friend with Dolores, and they chat a little bit, and then he offers to walk her home.
Yeah,
it's
because
so sweet.
Doesn't her sister just, like, leave her?
They ditch her. Well, she's 14. They are going to go out and have a good time. They're older kids. They ditched her because she should go to bed. She's young. She's a little kid.
Well,
she's
how not. About you I mean, drive 14, her home first? Why don't you do that?
Maybe they live close by. You don't know.
I don't know.
It's not the same world you live in today, hon. I hate to tell you.
I'm just saying, this 14-year-old girl, maybe someone should have, like, taken her home.
Nah. If it was close by, no. I mean, I don't know. I know when I was a kid, when I was that age, I walked to the local hangout by myself, with my friends or by myself.
Well,
it wasn't far. A mile or so.
I'm worried for this child, okay?
In the 21st century, I'd be worried about them walking down their own street at night.
With the bikers that we constantly see in this movie trying to rough people up, I'm concerned for Dolores, okay?
I don't think they would go after her. They're more after the guys. But you're right. Yeah, I mean, it could be dangerous. I don't know. Anyway, that's why she gets Michael, see?
Yeah, Michael is her new best friend. And the next day is when we finally meet the substitute teacher.
Mr. Stewart, who's replacing Mr. Spears, who's gone back to
mental hospital. Because during the announcements, he fucking passed out. They were like, oh yeah, welcome back, Mr. Spear. And then he passes out.
He took a mouthful of pills and passed out.
So he already has a substitute. Yep. And what's his name? Stewart?
Mr. Stewart.
He's introduced by the principal to Miss Mason, and that's where they start flirting a little bit. She even comes into the class at one point too. But this is
supposed to be auditing the class.
Wasn't it? No, this isn't the class later. Did I write it down?
No.
Did I not write down reproduction? No, okay, that's a
little
bit
later.
You did
write down reproduction. Oh, that's after. There's another scene before reproduction.
Okay, that's a little bit later.
So we get introduced to him, and then, what is Brad? Oh, then we go to the tryouts for the June Moon Talent Show.
Okay, so that's like
the next That's what you missed, the June Moon Talent Show.
Okay, so yeah, this whole thing, we got a lot about the talent show in this movie. So we got songs
that are like...
Well,
the last one was all about the dance competition that was coming up at the Spring Fling.
Yeah. So like in the last movie, we had songs that were like at the dance. In this, we have songs that are in the talent show kind of thing. So the sorority girls, quote unquote, sing the song Brad.
Yep. They convince Michael to try out for the show, I believe, or to help them with the show.
He's doing the piano and I love it.
He's going to play the music for all
the
groups.
Cute.
Yeah, on the piano. So they sing Brad, and of course they have one of the male characters so they can gush over him.
Yeah. And then the Pink Ladies, their song is Girl for All Seasons, and like they start
that
practicing
one.
That. It's so funny how like that song never really gets fully played.
You hear parts of it throughout the thing, but I don't think you ever hear the whole thing all at once.
Even when they do the full performance of it, there are things that go wrong. So
it is on the soundtrack.
Yeah, it is.
I had the soundtrack years ago. It is on the soundtrack.
And then after, when everyone is leaving this audition, or not audition, this practice for the talent show,
Michael asks Stephanie out.
Yeah. And he's turned down cold.
But then we get an explanation of what kind of guy she wants.
He's too sweet. And he's not a cool rider. A cool rider.
a cool, 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 cool rider. Yep. Yeah, she sings all about the kind of guy she wants. She basically wants a guy who rides a motorcycle wearing black leather. That's what she wants.
She wants to date a bad boy.
So Michael says, okay, I guess that's what I need to do. And that's when he makes his first deal.
Yep, that's when he's like, okay, well, I need to get a motorcycle, so I need to make some money. And so he starts writing up essays for people.
Yeah. And walks a T-Bird offering him money for an essay. And he turns it into a business.
Which, you know, he's become a bad boy now. He may not have a bike yet, but he's already a bad boy.
Rebel. Breaking the rules. Cheating.
That's not good.
But when you're smart, and you can use it.
And then we get the song.
Then we get reproduction.
Then the next day in biology class is reproduction.
Probably not the next day, but it's the next scene.
You know, it's the next
scene. We're going through an entire school year in like an hour and a half, 2 hours. So
yeah, that's true. Everything's the next day. The next scene, whatever. Yep. Reproduction.
He starts off by asking them questions. They don't know what's going on. So he says, okay, we'll start at the very beginning with plant reproduction. And they start singing.
Where does the pollen go?
It was good. It's very suggestive. There's lots of antics. The kids are all over the place. And of course, during this, Mrs. Mason is auditing the class to see how he's doing with the class in case he has any questions. So she's sitting in the corner and even she's a little shocked at what's going on. And then Miss McGee sees through the window at the end of the class is going on and she freaks out.
One or two of the students starts hitting on Miss Mason during the song.
I know. And there's this one part where they say, isn't it true that a female member of some sex on a couch could get this guy all hot and he'd never even know it? That's a line in the song. I'm like, of course. She's like, no. And I'm like, of course they could, because teenage boys are horn dogs. All they have to do is look at the right looking girl and they're done. Of course. Without even trying, without her even knowing it, she could be turning them on. Absolutely.
It's such a wild song. It's just, but they're all going nuts. Yeah.
During the song, Michael's standing off to the side, just kind of like enjoying the music. And Stephanie's doing the same on her side of the classroom. And every so often she looks at him and just kind of nods. So this is where I think she starts realizing, you know, he's not that bad. He's not quite what I'm looking for, but he's not that bad.
Yeah.
She starts little by little. You notice little things where she might be interested. But of course, she's not going to go for him because he's not a motorcycle cool guy like she wants.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to, you know, I have standards. You may not quite meet my standards, but
but she'll still fall for him anyway. It'll be fine.
Of course she will.
Then he gets enough money for a bike
and buys this it is where a junkyard.
Yeah, he just goes to the junkyard, like probably picks up some random parts, fixes it up. He has to, like, you know, ride it a few times and figure all that out.
Learn how to ride a motorcycle, learn how to build one. Of course, this is where being the smart guy in school comes in handy, because, you know, he knows how to do stuff. He knows how to read.
He knows how to read. Wow.
But he goes and he gets a book and he learns how to build a motorcycle from parts.
Yep.
Which is kind of amazing because, you know, a lot of teenage boys wouldn't do that unless that was something they were really passionate about. He's not necessarily passionate about motorcycles. He's passionate about Stephanie. So he's going the extra step.
Yeah. Also, this is one of the only other scenes where we see Frenchie. I feel like after this, she's gone forever because
We see her in the scene where after he rides the motorcycle for the first time.
I was gonna say that's what I mean. Like when he's practicing, like just randomly, she sees him and she's like, Michael, don't do this. You're gonna hurt yourself. And he's like, nah, I'm gonna be fine. I'm gonna do this for her.
What are you doing this for? You're doing this for Stephanie. Oh no.
Well, yeah. Duh.
Of course. We all knew that. Get a clue, Frenchie. Oh, Frenchie has no clues. She has no clues.
So here's the second bowling scene, because, you know, they gotta keep going bowling every time. Mm-hmm. But the gang, I was about to call them the Scorpions. They have a different name in this movie. But, like, you know, the bad boy gang with Balmuto, they're there now. And they wanna, I don't know, rough up the T-Birds.
Mm-hmm.
But who's there? But this other random motorcycler. Who's
he? Just as they go to attack the T-Birds.
Who's that
guy?
The T-Birds
run afraid into the bowling alley when they realize, and out comes this guy, and he just takes them all on in a motorcycle rally, if you will, because no one actually touches anybody.
No.
Except for the one kick.
But who's that guy?
Exactly, who's that's the song. So it starts off with the motorcycles running around the parking lot, then and everybody comes out of the bowling alley, and they're all standing and sitting on their cars watching as these motorcycles are racing around. How he manages to take down all of the gangbangers. We only actually see like three or four crash and yeah. then there's none anywhere else. But without hurting himself, this is like the first time we've ever seen him like in public riding a motorcycle. And he jumps cars, he does all this crazy stuff. And of course, all of this impresses Stephanie.
Yeah, she's fully in love with him already. That's it.
Yep, yep. She's like, oh, he's gorgeous. She never sees his face. He's wearing a helmet and goggles. You see nothing of his face except for his chin.
His lips.
And his nose.
You see his lips.
His lips. But the best part of Max Cofield is his eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's got beautiful eyes.
That too.
I like eyes. Oh, he's got a nice body too, but I mean, you know. In this movie.
He's got a beautiful everything, okay?
Yeah. Nice hair too.
They're both gorgeous. I can't. So
can't even, huh?
No, I can't even. But okay, so I think it's the next day or whatever when they're like back in school.
In the chemistry lab.
This is when we last see Frenchie forever because she's like, you gotta tell her. That was you, right? And he's like, I can't tell her. I can't tell her.
No, he's like, the next time I see her, I'll take her side and I'll tell her. And then she walks.
And he fully and he blows out. It.
He acts like a total nerdy dweeb by walking up to her and he said, he's trying to compare the cool rider to like Superman, like, you know, on glasses on, glasses off kind of thing. So he's like trying to tell and he's like, he doesn't know how to say it. So he's like, have you ever seen a Superman comic? And she's like, not recently, you know? And he's like, oh, and he realizes, yeah, that was a stupid thing to say.
Oh my God. This movie really is though, like, because she's the Lois Lane and she's in love with both of them. God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is a Superman. It is like a Superman thing, except that he's not really Superman, but
he's just a motorcycle dude.
Just a motorcycle dude and a nerdy boy. Who doesn't like a nerdy boy?
Who doesn't? Stephanie? Until the end of the movie, she does.
She does. But at this scene is also when they talk about the fact that Rhonda might have had a nose job because she comes in after being made fun of at the beginning of the movie, but her nose, she's got a piece of Band-Aid over her nose. That's Rhonda. You remember who Rhonda is now? No.
Very. I can place the nose, but I can't place any other features on the face. So, oh yeah, I don't think we mentioned it earlier because it wasn't important, but like, so Michael apparently lives in a bomb shelter.
No, he doesn't live in a bomb shelter. He lives at his aunt and uncle's house, and that's where he likes to hang out. Some people have like a hangout, a place that they'd like to spend their time. So he uses the bomb shelter as his place to do his homework, to have his private time. I'm sure he lives in the house. He just uses the bomb shelter as a place to hang out. It's in the backyard.
Regardless.
Because people who lived through the Cold War understand what a bomb shelter is all about. You didn't.
No, I don't. Regardless, at least one time when he's like giving someone a paper, one of the T-Birds like, is there, and he, like, yeah, they see the bomb shelter and they're like, huh, this will be interesting. And
we could use this for something.
They use the bomb shelter later for a makeout session.
It's all cleaned up, so he must have agreed to that one.
Maybe. I mean, maybe he made some more money off of that one.
I hope rent, so. I rent it out. Some serious do-re-mi to rent it out for the night. Here's the thing.
God, so, I hate this so much.
DiMucci brings Sharon in, and they're gonna have a little, you know, talk. Or he's gonna show her the bomb shelter and show her how cool it is. And as they're in there, all of a sudden alarms go off. And again, quote unquote, if you go through the Cold War, well, no, the kind of sirens or alarms that would go off if there was a reason to go in your bomb shelter. Or if there was an air raid or a threat or something like that.
Yeah, but none of it's real because it's no, just the guys. No, but he
wraps her up and makes her believe it is. I mean, mentally gets her in that mode where she thinks something really is happening. You know, oh my God, the Cold War is over. It's now a real war. Oh my God, you know, because they lived in that time where people were afraid of that shit. So there we go. All of a sudden, I mean, think of it this way. We're like halfway across the world from these places. Back then, it was not going to happen. Now, a little closer. But he gets her all wrapped up. They start singing, of course, about how they're going to do it for our country. And he's thinking we're going to have sex for our country. And she's thinking we're going to go out there and we're going to fight for our country. But he's trying to convince her to have sex in the bomb shelter.
Do it for the last time.
Do it for Disneyland. I love it when she says, do it for Disneyland.
Because
there was no Disney
so
World
much.
At this time.
I hate this song. I hate how he's like trying to coerce her into this.
Into having sex.
And she has no
Teenage
idea.
Boys do that though. I mean, they
it's
do.
Not good though.
No, but it's what happens. And it's a movie. Thank God it's not reality.
Yeah.
And
then like
anyway,
she opens the door and then the guy's
like
let's
go.
Out.
Yeah, let's go.
So
let's
she
go
gets
help
real
everyone.
Mad. She gets real
oh,
mad.
Oh yeah.
I'm glad she's mad at him.
She's a T-Bird chick, so she goes right back to him.
Yeah. Still annoying.
Yeah,
I just said,
she's a little good girl though, so she's not gonna do anything more than just make out. That's all she's ever gonna do with him.
Oh yeah.
So terrible.
Well, Then we get later at the gas station where Stephanie works, the cool rider shows up.
Ooh, oh, and she ditches her job there because her father owns it, so what big deal. She ditches her job there and takes a ride.
She doesn't know who this man is, and she just gets on his motorcycle. If it wasn't Michael, I would be so concerned, but I know who it is.
Since we know he's safe, it's okay. But yeah, you're right. She just is like, ooh, he's cool.
She shouldn't
do
that. But like, it's Michael. He's a dork.
But shouldn't do that. She ends up like, what, at one point riding on his lap?
Yeah. They're kissing. Okay, it's so unsafe. Like, she gets on the back of it, and then like, she does some gymnastics and gets like, on the front, but like, backwards. So she's like, facing him while he's driving the motorcycle, and I'm like,
yeah,
this is concerning. I don't like it.
Yeah, and when they park, she makes out with him, which is, again,
she never
course,
sees his
Michael,
face.
Michael's so dorky, he's like dying on the inside. You can see it when he's like,
oh yeah,
did you kiss me? You know, he's got that look on his face, like, you can tell. He's like, oh my god, she finally kissed me. Oh my god, oh my god. So he brings her back to the service station, and he's about to tell her who he is and reveal himself when who walks up? All the T-Birds.
And the Pink Lady.
And
just everybody shows up.
Yeah, and they give her a whole ton of shit. They all do, because, you know, again, she's a T-Bird chick.
Yep, and so he's gone. And also, like, I can't remember what happens, but I wrote down the Pink Ladies ditch the T-Birds. I think they were, like, mad at them for something.
They were pissed at them, yeah.
They have, like, an argument. And that's when they...
I think it was about... Was the argument about Paulette, though?
It might be, yeah.
Because Johnny, because Johnny's still trying to say that she's his girl, and Paulette's like, hello?
I'm right here.
We've been together for the last few months now. What are you talking about? She's still your girl.
Yeah, so the T-Birds, I think this is when they first sang Prowlin'.
Prowlin' is going to be their song in the June Moon Talent Show, in case you forgot about that one.
Yep.
And it's terrible.
And what do you think it is? What do you think it's about? It's about them, like, prowling around. Looking
for
girls. Being bad. Bad boys, all that jazz. And it's not a bad song. It's all right. It's pretty good.
Well, the audition isn't good.
The audition is not good. No.
The audition is not good. But what's really funny is we find out that there's a Peptones is one of the other groups. And they're like this cute little Peppy boys
Sandman,
who sing a trio. And Miss Mason is all about these cute little preppy boys. And then on come the T-Birds. And...
and God, the principal's like, now these are my
boys.
These
are my boys. And then they look ridiculous on stage. And she's like, oh.
So bad. Yeah.
But I love it when Nogarelli walks off and he's like, Mom wants you to come over for some biscotti when at your convenience.
Oh my God. They are
it's
dorks.
Awesome. They are dorky. They are very dorky for a rough motorcycle gang that they're supposed to be. But that's okay. We love them anyway.
So now we learn Stephanie needs some tutoring. She's not doing so great, and she...
Do we know any smart kids?
I don't know. Do we know any smart kids? No.
Ooh,
one.
Enter Michael Carrington.
Hello, Michael Carrington.
She comes out of the classroom sputtering, I don't understand. Oh, I got a bad grade. I got to redo the whole paper. He's like, oh, well, I could help you out if you'd like. But if you don't like it, that's whatever. It's your choice. And so they go out.
They go to, like, you know, the local diner, and
for
they're hanging out.
For a
non-date. For a non-date date. And he's helping her, and they're talking. And she keeps, like, kind of looking at him, but, like, no.
And it's a confusing conversation because she's talking about the guy she fell in love with that she met on the motorcycle, but she's also talking about Hamlet, who's the guy she's writing the paper about.
But
she's
also talking
about
Johnny. Michael.
she's like going around the book, and Michael's like, I can't follow this conversation. She's got a little ADHD going on in this conversation.
I love it. It's fine.
It's awesome. They have a good time. He shows her how to write appropriately for English class. Basically just taking the things that she said and making them sound nice.
Because
even
she
though,
had some
same
good
thought.
Ideas.
She did. She just has she's writing in the plain language she speaks in and not in the language English teachers want you to write in.
She's like, Hamlet was angry because his mom banged
his
stepdad.
He went totally nuts because
his uncle.
He went totally nuts
slash
when
stepdad.
He, yeah, because his mom was sleeping with his stepdad, and he's like, no, he was tormented by his mother's incestuous relationship with his uncle. That makes it sound better.
Yep, exactly. Exactly.
That sounds a lot better. It's the same words. He's basically pissed that his mom's sleeping with his uncle, who, you know, but It sounds better.
It's fine. It's all good.
So again, he asks her out again.
Mm-hmm.
And she says no again because, you know, she's a pink lady and he's not a T-Bird. But it's not the same way at this time. It's not like, oh, you're not cool enough. You just, I can't do it. You're not a T-Bird.
Yeah, yeah,
getting
yeah.
there. We're getting there. And then in walks the bad guys.
And the next stuff is where I went to the bathroom and you didn't pause it, but I basically know, like, the gist is, this is where the fake out death is. So,
tell
me what happens.
Okay. So after he leaves, after asking her out again at the diner, in walk the T-Birds. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he gets mad at her again for hanging out with another guy. You know, he was with the motorcycle guy. Now she's with Michael. He's like, what are you doing hanging out with all these guys? You're still supposed to be with me. And she's like, I'm not with you. I'm not going to be with you. Get over it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys go inside and they're talking and he's like, you know what? I know where we can get some broads, some scoreable broads. And that's when we see the new version of prowling where they have the girls from the grocery store.
Oh my God.
It's actually a much better song, but they have the girls from the grocery store in the background, like in a, yeah. You remember the scene, right? So that's where he went to go meet girls at the grocery store, supposedly.
Oh God.
Because he wanted to meet some cool broads, some scorable broads, as he called them.
Yeah, okay.
And then we get the talent show. Now, when he had left, when the cool rider had left Stephanie at the garage that night before, he had said he'd see her at the talent show.
Well, so that are you saying that this isn't where she thinks that he's dead?
No, it comes up in a second. So she says he says he's going to see her at the talent show when he last see her at the garage a couple days before. Then we have the diner scene, right? And then we get the talent show scene. She's out front of the talent show waiting for him to show up and her friends are coming in and he drives up and the guys show up and say, we're going to get him. And so he drives away. The guys chase him off in their motorcycles.
Mm-hmm.
And the girls follow behind in the pink lady's pink car. She jumps in the car and they all
car.
Chase.
I love the car.
And that's when Sharon freaks out about the fact that she's going to die wearing her mother's underwear. Granny panties. That's what I'm saying. Probably not, but granny panties. So then they drive and they chase after him. And of course they go over some construction area or dead man's curve thing or whatever. And there's a construction zone and he jumps and they don't see him on the other side. They don't see him on the bottom. So they don't know if he died.
He's
the boys
dead.
All look down. It's, they're like, he's done. Nowhere around. He's not in sight and stuff. He's like, he's dead. Oh my God, he's dead. Now this is the night of the talent show. So then they go back and they have to perform.
No, that's where the movie ends. Michael is dead. Cool Rider's dead. No more. We never see him.
Michael's not dead, but Cool Rider's dead, possibly.
Supposedly.
So we get to the talent show. If Michael were dead, who would play the piano at the talent show?
I was gonna say, it's like you never see him at the talent show, but like he's obviously the one playing the piano the entire time.
Yeah, that's his job. He plays the piano at the talent show. No one was scrambling looking for a new piano player. So
but
the talent
Stephanie
show
is devastated. She's like, the love of my life is dead.
Oh my God. She's known him for like 5 seconds and he's, you know, but he came out of her dreams. That's why she's all excited. Before Stephanie has her big scene, though, we have to have the scene where finally Paulette tells off Johnny in a good way.
Right. We also get the scene where the T-Birds beat up those prep guys in the...
Well, they don't beat them up. They tie them to the... For some reason, the Preptones have this thing. They like to practice in the shower in the locker room. So while they're standing in the shower in the locker room, they tied them to the shower, stole their hats and their ties and their jackets, and went up to do their performance wearing their jackets and their ties. That's all. So they do their performance, and when he comes off stage, he sees Paulette wearing her outfit. Paulette's going to be the bride of June, the June bride in their A Girl for All Seasons. And so she's wearing basically a Merry Widow, which is like the little corset-looking lingerie outfit with the stockings, you know, clipped up and whatever. Not exactly dressed like a bride because there's no gown, really. But she's barely dressed, which is fine. She's covered. I mean, it's 1960s, so she's still covered, but in a suggestive outfit, and he freaks out. He tries to tell her she needs to wear heavier clothes and be winter because, you know, no chick of his is going to dress like that. And she's like, no chick of yours? You haven't treated me like your girlfriend this whole time.
Exactly.
And she basically tells him off. She smacks him a couple of times and pushes him, and he goes on stage. He is an asshole. He needs to get a clue. The only girl who wants him in school is one of the hottest chicks around. Take her. She wants you. Go for it.
Treat her like a queen.
Exactly.
Okay,
and then
so,
we get the scene.
Girl for all seasons.
Girl for all seasons.
Finally.
Oh, we can talk about Martin Mizer and his red hot accordions. That was funny.
No. No, so bad. We get the closest we'll get to all of Girl for All Seasons, but Stephanie doesn't sing. She's the last
one.
She's Winter, right?
But she doesn't sing her song.
Yeah, she doesn't sing that part because she's so traumatized.
Christmas.
And then she instead starts singing, was it Turn Back?
She
didn't
talk about their outfits.
Yeah.
She's dressed up like a fucking Christmas tree. It's so cute.
Hey, I dressed up like a Christmas tree once.
Yeah. The girl next to her is dressed up like champagne for New Year's Eve, and then there's a girl dressed up like a quarter. Because she's dressed up like George Washington or whatever. So a coin.
Are the...
That's so funny.
The guys in the back, those are some of the T-Birds, right?
The T-Birds are the ones who open the doors for each season
and
to
they,
walk through the doors.
They put on like little, they put on special outfits every time though. Like they go away and they put on outfits and they like go away halfway through and put on new outfits.
It's like it's basically like a poncho that has the seasons
outlined
on it.
There's too much effort. In this one fucking song. There's too much effort for those costumes.
That's
it's
why
so
the group should have won. But the group doesn't win.
No, instead Stephanie wins because she starts randomly singing this song about turn back, turn
back. We have to have a dream sequence. We had a dream sequence in the first one. We got
to
have one in this one. So, yeah,
in
the middle of when it's supposed to be her time to sing about winter, how she's, you know, she'll be there in winter or whatever. She stops. She stands and then she sits down and she just stares off into space. And then she starts singing as if she's singing a duet with him, which of course it becomes a dream sequence. And he is singing back to her. And all
the
of a sudden she's wearing this.
Is he singing from the piano? And I think he is, but we never actually see.
See it.
We have no idea.
But I love
idea.
What she's wearing. She's supposed to be this tough chick who wants a biker. And for half of that dream sequence, she's wearing like a diaphanous gown, looking like, you know, something from like a Greek mythology kind of diaphanous gown. I'm like, what the hell? This should be a biker chick. She does wear her biker outfit through part of it, like a silver whitish biker outfit. But
okay, so
she's like, it's so weird.
I think the thing is, she wants to be like a rough and tumble kind of girl compared to all the other girls, but when she's with her man, she wants to be like a little bit feminine, you know?
Yeah.
You know, she wants to be feminine for him, but like not for anyone else.
Yeah. So she has her dream sequence where they're riding and she's singing to him, but he's dead and she's so sad that he won't be back and all of this. And when she finally aware of what's going on around her, they tell her she wins the talent show, the female portion of the talent show, the girls' part. Yay.
And who won the guys?
Johnny.
Gross. Because now they're the king
because
and the queen.
Prowling was good. It was a good song, Prowling. It was a good song in the
end.
Yeah,
but it's gross because those two are now the king and the queen.
Yeah, so they have to be together as the king and the queen for
at
the final
luau?
Scene. The Lani Kailani Luau to celebrate Hawaii becoming a state.
Interesting.
Hey, you know, we gotta throw everything we possibly can in to make you realize that you are in the 1960s, the beginning of the 1960s.
Yeah. So, yeah, for some reason, we're at a luau. There's a song. I don't know what the song is for this.
It's basically like a senior fair. A lot of schools used to do that, the senior fair, but it's a luau instead for the senior class.
Instead of having prom, we have this, because prom is not important.
No, not in this movie, it wasn't.
But this scene is important because of Mr. Spears.
Mr. Spears. So in this scene, they're all enjoying the party. They're all having a good time. And at some point in time, during the whole event, the king and the queen have to ride in the pool of enchantment. So they put them on little raft, dressed up in all these crazy looking raffia kind of material outfits, you know, kind of like straw outfits to make them look like a king and a queen from some kind of Hawaiian nation. And Mr. Spears is walking forward and he literally just falls into the pool because he's so drugged up.
Because he just keeps walking. He just keeps walking into the pool.
He walked up the stairs and into the pool and then falls in the pool. And just as that happens, who comes in but Balmudo and his motorcycle gang to tear the place up.
Now, we never see Mr. Spears get pulled out of the pool, but we know he is. We never
see
it. We see
him out later, but you would think he might have drowned because he was in there and we never saw anybody
take him out. I thought he had died. I really thought he had died, but he apparently is alive. It's fine. So, Balmudo's back. The motorcyclists are attacking. And literally, they are harassing people at a school event?
What the hell? School event with adults and all that. What's really interesting is we never see Michael at the event until now. Now all of a sudden, Cool Rider comes out.
Well, we haven't seen Michael yet. We technically still haven't seen Michael.
We
only see Cool Rider here.
Cool Rider. So the Cool Rider jumps off a tiki hut roof onto his motorcycle and then drives around again with a motorcycle rally kind of effect where he takes out all the motorcycles, even though we really only see like one or two guys crash their cars again or their motorcycles again. And then he lands his motorcycle. While this is all going on, of course, Stephanie and Johnny are fighting on the raft. Johnny smokes a cigarette. Yep. He drops a cigarette, almost burns the raft. It's fun.
What an asshole.
As they're getting off the raft and they're getting up, all of a sudden, Michael comes out after landing his motorcycle and taking out the motorcycle gang again and takes his hat off, his helmet off, and his goggles.
And who is
Stephanie?
It's Michael. Sees him.
And Stephanie's outfit is hysterical here. I'm sorry. She's got this gold lame disco-looking dress on. Not exactly what you'd expect to see at a school event in the 60s at all. More like you'd expect to see at a discotheque in the 70s. But it's okay.
It's okay. It's just, you know.
Earlier she was wearing sweatpants and a sweatshirt, and now she's all dressed up.
But the important thing is here, he's been revealed to be Michael. And does she still like him? Does she? Yeah.
She's hell
like,
yeah!
I got two for the price of one. Like, this is fine with me. And he's like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then just before we sing the song, Dolores comes up and explains why she can't hang out with Michael as much anymore because she has a new boyfriend. She's now dating Davey, which in the scheme of the movie, Davey's 17 and she's 14, so it's not terrible. But in reality, they do have a scene where they kind of sort of kiss almost, and he's 21 or 22 when the movie's shot, so it's kind of creepy.
And she's like actually 14. Like, gross, so it's creepy.
Creepy.
Not really.
But yes, so they become a couple, so to speak. And then they sing the song, "We'll Be Together."
Yes, they do.
Always, forever. I love it.
Because they always have to have one of those songs at the end where everybody's singing and it's all happy and it's good.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So they sing about how they're going to be together. And then Sharon sings about how they're just going to be friends. Which basically lets DiMucci know, you're not going to get any.
Oops. Oh, well.
Oh, and sorry, Johnny and Paulette talk about the fact that they are going to be together.
Yep.
Because he's going to be okay with her and she's going to, you know, accept him back.
And then we get the credits, which it looks like a yearbook and everything. And it's like they were all together for like maybe a week before graduation.
And yeah, some of these photos look like they were taken of Michael dressed up as a motorcycle dude like months ago. It's kind of weird how many yearbook photos I have of him dressed up like member of the gang.
So either somebody was like secretly there, like at all of those events and like took pictures of him, or like they had a special like, you know, photo shoot with him as Cool Rider because that was the coolest thing that happened to them all year.
We gotta
put this in the yearbook. We gotta do it. Michael, come on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously these were outtakes. They probably took photos during the shooting of the movie.
Oh, yeah. But it's just shooting for the movie.
But it's just funny that they put it in there and they made it look like it was part of the yearbook. And I'm like, well, this wouldn't have actually worked in the timeline, but that's okay. It was cute. One thing we forgot to say is when she finally realizes it's him and it's okay, Johnny gives him a T-Bird jacket.
He becomes part of the T-Birds.
So then she doesn't break the code. She can be with a T-Bird and be with Michael at the same time.
Okay, but like they're graduating. Who fucking cares if she's dating a T-Bird? They're all going to college.
Well, it's right? I was going to say they're not all going to college.
Michael is.
Michael's going to college. Maybe she'll go to junior college. I don't think many of the others are going to college.
Probably not. Just Michael.
If any of the girls were smart enough to go to college, maybe Sharon, maybe Rhonda. Definitely not the other. Nope.
It's fine. So yeah, that's the movie. Now let's
move. We don't know if Frenchie ever graduates. We never see her again. We stopped seeing
Frenchie halfway through the movie. So yeah, let's move into our Gone Wrongs. If you haven't listened to this podcast before, this is where we talk about what went wrong in the PC media we have been discussing and how we try to change that. So, Frenchie. My Gone Wrong is the fact that Frenchie is barely here. Why have the cameo if she's not going to graduate with them? Like, I don't know. Just put her in the background of some more scenes, maybe at least.
Yeah, either she's there or she's not there. It would be okay if she came in as a cameo and said, oh, I'm just going to introduce you to the school, but, you know.
Yeah.
But she's not really a student there, but they make her a student there different. And then they don't have her graduate or anything, which is weird.
Yeah, she's barely ever with the pink ladies.
Yeah, and she's supposed to be a pink lady too, so why isn't she hanging out with them? They're her, she says they're her, some of her very best friends, but she never hangs out with them at all.
Yeah, we've never seen them before anyway, so what's the point?
The only time they hang out is that one time in the chemistry lab when he makes a fool of himself over Superman.
That's the only time we see her with the pink ladies.
Yeah, it's kind of sad.
It's all fine. It's good. So yeah, that's a gone wrong for me. And then the entirety of Do It For Our Country. I appreciate the pun, and that's about it.
It's a fun song, but yeah, I get it. It's not about, it's about consent, it's stupid. And there's no consent there. Well, she says no, and she gets away from
glad,
him, so I guess
I'm
that's
glad
good.
She says no. I'm so glad she says no. I almost feel like it'd be funny if that, like, in the credits of the movie, they actually had the full version of Girl for All Seasons, or like, not, maybe not a full version, but like an outtake or something of like Girl for All Seasons, where they just keep messing it up and messing. That would, I feel like that would make the movie even better, because like, you never see the full thing. You should just see like more of them like just messing it up at the end.
There you go. See what went wrong. I think they made the T-Birds too wimpy.
No, I think
they were just
perfect.
A little too wimpy. They were just too wimpy. I really do. I also don't like Adrian Zmed. I don't like him. I didn't like him in the movie. I'm not a fan of the actor, so I didn't like him in the movie. I mean, the character was fine. I just didn't like him in the movie. He was the one who played Johnny. I don't know. I didn't think there were a lot of gone wrongs. I would have liked to see Michael with his shirt off more.
Oh, the other gone wrong is the ages between Dolores and Davey.
And Davey.
That's,
you know, the
just
guy who
a little uncomfy.
It, you know, 14 to 17 is pushing it. I experienced it when I was in school. Not me, but I knew people who did that. But the fact that in reality she was 14, he was 21, and they had to snuggle up and in one scene, I'm just like, yeah, no. It is awkward. If you're going to have a 14-year-old paired off with someone, make them someone who's at least close enough in age so it's not gross. I love this movie. I think it's fun. I'm disappointed it didn't make any money, but like I said, at the time it came out, I don't even remember it being in the movie theater. It may have been, but I don't recall it. So that's probably why it didn't make much money.
A musical, a stage musical of this.
Where? Is it playing
anywhere
in the world?
I don't know. It just says on the Wikipedia, there's a film was adapted into a musical. Cool writer.
I mean, I love the idea of it. I do think it is a little too much of a parody of the original.
Hmm.
Like, you know, I like a sequel. I don't think the sequel has to be the exact story of the original with, like, just, like, character changes or whatever. You know what I mean? It seemed like it was just a flip story of the original.
Yeah.
Instead of building a car that's going to be really cool, he builds a motorcycle that's really cool and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's still the transformational scene. There's still the smart kid falling in love with the
There's
cool,
still
tough
the
kid
whole
from the other
changing
side of town.
Yourself for the person, except in Greece, they both change.
They
and
both
in this
change.
One, he changes for her. But regardless, like, how about this? It's still kind of balanced, because in this one he may change for her, but she's like, yeah, I kind of like both sides of ya, so like,
yeah,
it's fine anyway. But in the other one,
I mean, I'd rather have, I like it, the idea of a guy changing for the girl. I do.
But I also feel like that's the thing about the first one that a lot of people forget, is that he changes for her just as much as she changes for him. Mm-hmm. In the end of that movie. So, but in this movie it's just him, and she's like, I like the nerd and the cool guy, so it's all good.
I get lucky, you know. I really, really wanted this
one.
This is my dream guy, and this is the reality guy that I'm getting hot for, and you're both the same guy. Perfect.
Love that.
It's perfect. You get the best of both worlds. Who doesn't want a smart guy who's also got a little bit of an edge around him once in a while? I like that.
Oh yeah. Alrighty. Well, I have to look at our schedule to see what we're doing next. Oh yeah. Next one, we have to read a book. It's fine.
Oh geez, we'll read a book. I'll read a book on vacation,
or at least get more familiar with the book again. So we're gonna be covering Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, hopefully next time, with our good friend Christina from the restricted section finally getting her on the podcast. And I think we're going to do the pod a little bit differently than just, like, fully going through the plot as it is.
But didn't we just do this one already one?
We did the movie with her. So I think we're going to go more for what happens in the book based.
In the book.
And we'll try to do something just a little bit different. Maybe talk about more what we liked, what we didn't like, instead of just going straight through the plot. Because she's done the plot for so long, and we've technically already talked about the plot when we talked about the movie with her. So do it a little bit differently.
And feel free to watch that episode on the restriction section because it's a good episode.
Oh yeah, listen to back listen when to we it. Talked about the movie with her.
Yeah,
it
don't
was
watch.
Fun.
Listen to it. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we had some complaints. Like that should have been
about
two
movies. About the movie? Yeah. Well, huh?
That one should have been two movies.
It should have been two movies. They shouldn't have cut out like half the movie. They just cut out too much.
Yeah.
Because the book is awesome and it's big and it has lots of good stuff in it that they cut out.
Yeah.
Which kind of slightly changes the plot. Not fully, but slightly.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode of Phantoms Gone Wrong. We love you awesome nerds. Goodbye.
Bye.
You can follow the podcast socials at Phantoms Gone Wrong Pod on Instagram and Facebook, and at Fandom Gone Wrong on Twitter. You can send an email to us through fandomsgonewrongpod@gmail.com.
If you'd like to support us financially, go to patreon.com/fandomsgonewrong. By becoming a patron, you can join the Movie Night Crew Network server, where you can get to chat with us. And here's some no-context spoilers about episodes we are recording. I personally recommend the $5 tier, where you get access to random fandoms, our bonus show, where we play weird games of our own invention and talk more free-form about our fandoms. We also have a merch store on TeePublic, where all our designs are made by Charlie. Or, if you cannot support us financially, please give us a review on iTunes and rate us on Spotify to help others know how much you love this podcast. You can follow me personally at Travel Planning by Carrie on Instagram. I'm a travel agent who specializes in theme parks and cruises, but you can contact me if you're planning any type of fun vacation.
And you can follow me at GreenPixie12 on most platforms, but on Twitter, I'm at GreenPixie123. I'm totally not salty about it. I also have an art Instagram that I sometimes use at GreenPixieDraws, and I sometimes do the YouTube thing on my channel, Charlie Mack. That's M-A-C-K. I also have another podcast on the network called Of the Eldest Gods, where my friend Ray and I go through the Rick Riordan series, starting with the Percy Jackson and Olympians books, chapter by chapter. You can find that on all the major podcasting apps. And our music is Ready, Aim, Fire by Kevin MacLeod. Phantoms Gone Wrong is proud to be part of the Movie Night Crew Network, which features great podcasts like My Cabbages, an Avatar podcast that follows the true hero of the Avatar The Last Airbender series, the Cabbage Cart Guy.
Coffee. Tea. Honor. Cabbage. Long ago, the four elements lived in harmony. Then, shit went totally cray when the Avatar attacked. Only the Cabbage Man, merchant of fine cruciferous vegetables, could stand against his trolling. But when the world needed some dank veg, he vanished. 10 years have passed, and my partner and I have started a new podcast.
My Cabbages!
An Avatar podcast.
A weekly show about Avatar The Last Airbender. Whether it's Sokka's new line of cologne...
Hey, look at you, sitting there on a seal. Well, now look it back at me. I'm on a even bigger seal. Now look away.
D&D-related antics.
You have to make an acrobatics check for that, and Aang just, like, unzips his pants and whips out his d20s. He's just like, I got this.
Or randomly breaking into song.
Sokka bending waterfall.
We'll stumble our way through the greatest show ever made, one episode at a time.
You can reach us at CabbageCast, which is our Twitter, or
subscribe wherever you catch pod.
Rotten cabbages? What kind of slum do you think this is?
Remember to follow us on your favorite podcatcher and meet us back here every other Tuesday.
Yay.
Yay. A new season. Do, 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 do.
Gonna go back. Back to school again. Whoa, whoa. I gotta go back to school again. Well, that's the opening credits of it, and this is a new season, so
yeah.
Kind of like going back to school again.
I might have to use that as the outtakes or something.
That movie sucked.
I kind of liked it.
Movie Night Crew Network.